Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and happy 4th of July to those in the U.S. Thank you very much for listening tonight. I'm your host, Jennifer Hellman, and tonight's show is a continuing on the same line as last week about talking about fears and releasing them. Tonight's wonderful guest is Maya, who has written a book called The Power of Illusion. Her website is www.mayavidhya.com. Maya is devoted to releasing all fears and living in truth 100%. She has lived 29 years in the hamster wheel of life, like many of us, and righteously blamed the world for all her sufferings. Then she finally had an epiphany at the age of 30, which led her on a wonderful spiritual teachers and firmly asked her to take a deep look within. Changes simply happened due to her determination to release all the limiting thoughts and actions. Tonight she's going to share some of those ways to help you also release those limited thoughts and actions. And I welcome Maya very much, and I thank her for being on the show tonight. Maya?
Hi, Jennifer.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Maya came on at the last minute, so I am very grateful for her participation in the show tonight, and she has such wonderful information. I was looking over your website, and it's awesome. It's amazing. I can't wait to read your book. So let's get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you chose this path that led you to write this book?
Okay. I was born in India to a middle-class family. We didn't have a lot of money. I was born to a family where there was a lot of violence and childhood was not fun, but I was a survivor. Somehow God gave me that gift. I never focused on what went wrong, in the sense that it did not stop me. I started planning. I thought, okay, I'll become an engineer, which means that I'll be financially independent. So I became an engineer, and then I got married. It was the wrong step, because I got married because I wanted someone to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get married for someone to take care of you. You want to be together because you enjoy each other.
Right.
So wrong move. So
yes,
that ended in a divorce very fast. And I came to this country, and I was 30 years old, Jennifer, and I do not know what love was. I never
mm-hmm.
had that in my life. I never saw that. And I did not know what pain was. Once the divorce started happening, I did counseling, and then the pain started happening. That's the first time I knew what panic attack was. And through that, I started searching for God. I wanted to know who God was. Did he exist? Or is it a figment of someone's imagination? Because if God was there, my life would not have been this messed up. So in my search, I met lots of enlightened teachers, one after the other. I just kept going back to it. I was dogged at that one. I was determined I'm going to find God and ask him, what happened? Why did he forget me?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I met my teacher, Maya. And Maya just took me out of the dumps and put me right here, where, you know, I'm at a place where I can truly say that I'm pretty happy. There are areas of my life that needs to be improved, and I know I'm responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
I started looking into myself. I started looking into my shadows. Human beings have a tendency not to see their shadows. I mean shadows like arrogance. When
mm-hmm.
you think that you're better than another person, shadows like jealousy, envy, pride. So I didn't think that I had all that, Jennifer. I knew I had my issues. I knew I had my baggage, but I didn't know that I had pride in me. I was 36 years old when I saw that. Imagine the denial if I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
So she made me see one by one, and that's how my process started. The minute you see your own shadow, you start having compassion. You're not going to have compassion until you can see your stuff. When you can see your arrogance and say, yes, I have compassion for myself, your heart opens. And that's when what I call real love blooms through, this love that moves, you know, without any kind of condition to it. mm-hmm. which moves fearlessly. And through this process, as I learned my lesson, I started putting into words, and my book came about. And that's the power of illusion. It has techniques where people get to see their shadows, they get to release it, so they don't have any self-sabotaging actions, and they can manifest what they want.
Well, okay, by definition, what are you calling illusion then? Is that the
illusion.
Denial?
Okay, wonderful. Let me start with the high-level definition and go down to the detail.
Okay.
Illusion was created so that man may realize he is God. So what does that mean? That means that we are all creative. We are all creative gods, which means that we create the mess in our lives and we create the joy in our lives. We have that ability. So how do you know that? So let's start, take a step behind here. The separation that exists between you and me is illusion. Finally, we are all one, but this is not a concept. You need to understand that. When you understand it completely, you can be in another person's field and you can exactly see what's going on with them. Even though you're separate beings, you can feel their pain. You can see where they're going when the veil gets lifted. Of course, the boundaries are there. Me as a human, I have my experience, but when you truly work on yourself, you can see the oneness that is with all of us. So how that veil that creates a separation is illusion. Then let me get into specifics. Another veil is, for example, you may not, you may be a very, I was a person who helped a lot. I would constantly give money to people. I would just be there for anybody, whether it's a job or in my spiritual group, it doesn't matter. I would always be there for me. Until I saw that one day, Maya lifted that veil for me. And what was it? I was doing it because I had this neediness. I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to think I was a good person. So that is the illusion that was behind my so-called goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So this illusion is what pretends it is really not what it is. It's this veil that hides things from being what it truly is. So then what happens when you really get to know your unconscious mind? Your unconscious mind is where the stuff is, that you don't see it. You want to lose 20 pounds and you go straight and have a slice of chocolate after you've lost about 10 pounds. Why? And you don't just stop with one bite. You just keep continuing it as a process for a few days and then you go back and then you go back. Why is that? Or you are caught in relationships where the man does not respect you or does not see you as an equal. You know, until you write it, until you do the work and understand your unconscious mind, it is like a little child who is totally disconnected. Our conscious actions are guided by unconscious mind. Only when you start doing the work will you understand how deep it is. The money you want, if you want $100 an hour for your job, what is preventing you from getting that?
Right.
You know, for me it was practical the way I understood my unconscious mind. Starting from the salary I wanted, when I started writing and I said that this is the salary I wanted, it had a huge problem asking for the salary. No one is going to give me the job. I don't have the skill sets for that amount of money. All kinds of fear. Or if I wanted to get to a relationship, or it had fear after fear. I would not have known that if I had not used the technique to get to know my unconscious mind. And once I got to know it, the weight fell off. The addictions, I was addicted to chocolate, Jennifer, I had to have it every day. That fell off. My neediness, I was always needy because I didn't get love as a child, so I was always looking for outside for that, you know, take care of me. You know, at work, I was an overachiever. Why? Because I wanted all the good name and, you know, the emails. I said, oh, great job, Maya.
Right. And
so
the reputation and all that.
That was neediness. That, I got rid of that through writing. That was a big one. It took me at least 6 months of hard work to get rid of that one. Because that was so ingrained in me. So that's how the unconscious is. So the more I released it, Jennifer, you start working through illusion. What does that mean? I put exactly what I want on my wall and I know how to manifest that. The house I want, how tall should my roof be, the windows, where should, corner plot, doesn't matter. You know, you can give it to the specifics and you'll
right.
immediately get it.
Now, let me ask you a question about this. Now, during your process, and you started seeing the shadow, and you started seeing the unconscious mind or the subconscious, did you feel like this was a totally separate person? And it's like, who is this person? So it really was beginning to know a true essence or a part of you all over again. True? Oh,
Absolutely, Jennifer. And let me just say this honestly. Every time I saw that, there was denial. So I want, you know, everyone to know that it is okay to have the denial. It's not a fun thing to see that you've been arrogant all your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it takes the greatest humility to see that, because you have worked so hard at being who you are and reached this place in life, and all of a sudden you see how phony you are. It is devastating. So every time I saw that, thank God my teacher took it in stages. Everything was not shown in one day. It took, you know, over a period of days it was shown through this writing. And I saw this being sitting here who was completely confused, insecure, who had no trust in herself. So what I did through this exercise was I started making a conscious connection with my unconscious mind. I started saying, okay, I understand you, and this is what we need. And, you know, you take my lead. I'm here. I'm listening. You know, rather than letting it sitting there and making its own stories and going about.
So the process that you did, it sounds like you did a lot of writing.
Yes.
And a lot of meditation.
Writing is a way to get through the unconscious mind. You just need to
definitely.
Do writing. Meditation does not give you emotional balance. Meditation raises your frequency so you can do some dumping. But emotional balance comes through your ability to see your stuff, fight with it, and then release it.
Right.
Because the minute you see it, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, I saw it, and I'm happy to release it. It's not going to happen that way.
Right.
There are things I fought for 6 months. Oh, Jennifer, I was a difficult student.
So did you have what they have, quote-unquote, the dark nights of the soul?
What does that mean?
Basically, you see yourself struggling with something so much, with the restricting yourself, the denial, and yet at the same time you see the light and just, in a way, you release it. And
yes.
I have gone through that kind of a process, and literally I sat down and I was journaling, because I highly recommend journaling, the writing. I think it's awesome. I do it daily. And I saw how I set myself up for that lesson.
Yes, exactly. It's like the more I worked on myself, Jennifer, it's like the light started shining. I call it getting into the divine flow. You get, truth starts moving through you. It's a movement that, it's a direct experience. I would like everyone to have that experience. And when that happens, you're seeing this movement in you that does not overtake you, that you're no longer ignorant of. You don't have an interaction with your manager and start having judgment in your mind for the next 30 days about it.
Right.
You have the interaction, you immediately see where he's coming from, you immediately see where your fear is, and it is immediately released. It doesn't take, I would go for days with my stories. You know, I just had so much of fun going about my stories. Oh, self-righteous anger. They did this to me. And then I worked at it. How did I create it? If I'm creating my reality, what was my part in it?
Right.
Oh my gosh, Jennifer, when you do that work, what was my part in it? Oh man, that is devastating. Because you see how you create it.
Oh yes, you see the setup and you take responsibility. And it really is amazing how light, and I start laughing at myself because I say, I set myself up so well, I'm amazing at it. But I also recognize that I'm taking responsibility, and I really feel like instead of beating myself up or setting myself up for this lesson, because I am learning from it, it's good to have a sense of humor about it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Beating ourselves, I was a very judgmental person. First of all, I judged myself and I judged the whole world. I didn't leave anybody out of it. The more I started loving myself, this love, it's not a concept. It's not like saying, I love myself, I'm going to go have a pedicure. That's not what this is. This love is when you can love your shadows and when you can love all your imperfections. And then you start loving the same in another because you're no longer rejecting what they're reflecting. Everybody's reflecting your stuff. When you see somebody and you get irked or you get really upset about it, there is something that is in denial that's in you. And
right.
It takes deep work or absolute truth and integrity to see this. And the more you do this work, it's so easy to see it. In the beginning, I won't see it. And then the more I started writing it, it was just immediate. It was like a movie going on in front of me. Oh, yeah, this is mine. I'm taking it. Thank you, Father, for showing it. And I just move on, no longer beating myself up.
Now, let me ask you a question. As you're doing this, have you ever found that the same lesson comes through again and you recognize it, yet there's a deeper level to it?
Yes. So this is something I learned from my teacher, and it has been true in my life. The first time you see something, the healing process starts. What is revealed is healed. That is my teacher's core teaching. You just have to reveal it. No, the minute you reveal it, the healing process starts. And from there on, all associated thoughts come up and it gets healed. But the thing is, it does not have what I do. The trick I learned from my teacher is, in order to stop my judgments, I'm just taking that example. I used to be very judgmental. So she said, first time I started working it out, why am I judgmental, I wrote it out. I knew why I was judgmental, because I was very insecure, and I didn't want, I always wanted to be better than the other person, so that, you know, I would somehow get recognition for that, you know, all kinds of twisted ideas of love. So when the judgment would come, I would just bless the thought. When I'm driving on the road and somebody cuts me and I'm thinking, does this guy get a license? Immediately I would bless him in my mind. The minute you bless it, it's a trick. In illusion, when you bless something, the other person automatically blesses you back, which means that you don't go 30 minutes into a story of yours.
Right.
You immediately stop right there. So it doesn't matter. I'm having an interaction with my manager, and he's coming from a place which is not from truth, and I'm judging him. I bless him immediately in my mind. I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. And it stops. And I'm open. I'm no longer defended. That's what it does. It takes away defensiveness. And if you take away the defensiveness, what happens? You're truly open. You're open to seeing the other person. That is what communication is all about. Openly letting the other person speak their truth or their lie, whatever they are at that point. Let them speak it openly. And then you sit there and see what you can offer without being defended and trying to judge them, which does not solve anything at all.
It truly doesn't. So you keep saying truth. What is your view on truth?
Ah, I love this subject, Jennifer.
Well, it's the ultimate, isn't it?
That is love.
I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Oh, no. So this is how truth moves in you. Let's see that we have access to the complete universal truth. Right,
mm-hmm.
We're all one. If everybody has was created by this one creator, and we have the same creative power within us until you have a direct experience of it, let's just pretend that's the truth. So if that is true, then why are we not able to see angels? Why are we not having regular enlightening insights? Why are we going down the wrong lane for a long time before we have an experience and go back again? The reason is we have this bubble around us, which is nothing but fear, preconceived ideas, how one should live, how one should not live. All these ideas are surrounding us. So as long as this thick, thick veil is around us, this truth can't seep through us because we are fully defended. We have ideas. Somebody may be speaking the truth, but you have a better idea than them on what that is. You have no idea. You've not had a direct experience, but we have an idea. So when you do this work on seeing your unconscious mind, what happens is there are holes poked into the big ball around you. So then the truth starts seeping in. And this is the most beautiful thing. And as the truth starts moving through you, Jennifer, it is a moment, the first few times is like an electric current that moves through your body. It is just a strong current that goes through you, and you know this is what it is. And it also can be subtle, but these are the ways you can identify that. But one thing that I would caution everyone is something that I fooled myself into believing that I would not want anyone to do, is the minute you start seeing the truth and you have dead-on insights about what's going to happen, who's coming there, and you know everything that's happening, but you can still be wrong. Spiritual teachers, forget that. I've done that. The minute you start getting these powers and seeing things, and you get into, in a innocent way, arrogance comes back. I am in truth. I know what is happening, but you have forgotten. You have not seen through your unconscious mind fully yet. You still have fears there. It's not like the slate is wipe, or is completely clean. So the truth is revealed to the extent you can handle at the moment. And the more you work on yourself, the more the truth is revealed. It's a process. It is not an event. So the more, all that you can do is work on yourself and let this truth move through you.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this move through you? I can give you an example. I work for corporate America. I love my job. I was in this wonderful company. It's a beautiful company. They take care of their people well. Give them wonderful food and free food and all the good stuff. And my teacher asked me to go to this company, and I really did not want to go there because I have been there before, and I did not want it. And I went there anyway. And I was a contractor. I didn't want to be an employee. And I found that the people were overworked, 12 hours, 14 hours. And they were stressed out, and they would yell at each other in meetings. Then I found that people did not have the courage to speak up and say, you know what, I'm overworked. But they would come and take it out on meetings, and projects would never happen in a smooth, friendly way. And then I found that the vice president was abusing his power. You know, I saw that happening many times, and the people were not able to stand up to him. So I was there for 8 months. I made a case study of every single thing that was happening. So here is how the truth moved through me. I just wanted to be there for a few months and leave the job. I had no intention of doing this work that I did finally. I wrote a letter to the directors of the company and said, this company is putting projects ahead of people. And I gave the case studies. And I said, you know, the vice president is abusing his power. And I mentioned that, you know, a title doesn't give another person to treat another human being as a lesser person. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I told them very clearly I wanted a meeting by this date. Here I am, a contractor, telling the directors of the company that I want a meeting, and here's a case study, and you know, there's a problem.
Right.
So that was the truth that my soul took over. But then the second, the shadow part exists. Maya, the person, Jennifer, was devastated after I sent that email. Because I knew I would lose my job. I was sure,
right,
I would lose my job. I'm a single mother. I need to take care of my rent, and, you know, I need to take care of myself. And and the people I loved in that company, they were mad at me. They were furious at me because I was shifting their model of what they thought was perfect. And I could not take that rejection. That's when I knew that my neediness, I needed acceptance from people. And I cried a lot. I understood the truth that moved. It was very impersonal. That is, for me, that is what love is. It is very impersonal. It took care of a higher reason. It didn't care. It knew somehow, my soul knew it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to program my unconscious mind that weekend, understand why it was scared, and reprogram it. And then I got the message that I had to go there without judgment in that meeting. And
mm-hmm.
I went there without judgment. I worked on it. And I told them, I started this way. I'm speaking, I just want to speak my truth. I mean no harm. And then I spoke. They heard it, Jennifer. And she said, the director said, you know what, we need more awareness that there are more projects than people. And she took my documents and she said she's going to do something out of that one. So
that's
how the truth moves.
It does. Now, do we have a caller?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes. Now I can hear you. I heard the beep for you, but I didn't want to interrupt Mayana's story. What's your name?
Is this your, I take it she's the host?
No, I'm the host. Maya's the guest.
Say again?
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. And what's your question for Maya?
Well, I don't have a question. But I wanted to contribute to what you're talking about.
Okay.
If possible. I hear a lot of energy. Let me turn down my volume. I'm hearing my voice kind of reverberate there. I understand how a person feels when they get a sense of the truth and they see and are overwhelmed by the rationalization of one's individual projection and of their own reality. And when you know the truth, you become very elated to try to, I guess, this is really weird hearing my voice. This is really hard to speak. It's kind of like holding two cell phones up to your ear and trying to say the alphabet. You know what? I'm going to have to just turn the volume down, so I'll trust that you'll just listen to me because I can't speak while I'm hearing my own voice reverberate against me. Hold on just a second, okay?
First of all, people see love as some sort of emotion in this room. You know, the emotion response is very important. If you're down in the dumps, then it can make you cry. You're already feeling blissful, then you can answer bliss. There's really probably not an emotion. It's that we have an emotion response to.
Jonathan, I can barely hear you.
The highest form of intelligence, so advanced that not even high speeds of subconscious mind could really observe it, that would be impossible. That would be like me handing you a notebook and telling you to write down the license plate numbers to all the cars that drive past you on a highway, except I'd make you drive at 500 million miles per hour. It's just too dense.
Jennifer?
Yes.
I'm not able to hear Jonathan.
Okay, 1 second, Maya. Jonathan, can you hear me? Jonathan.
Maybe Jonathan can dial back again and
perhaps. Jeff, if you can hear me, we can't hear Jonathan at all. So we're going to continue a conversation. If you could let him know somehow we can't hear him.
And taking it to a garbage can, I decided.
Jennifer?
Yes. So Maya, I want to apologize to Jonathan, but we cannot hear you at all.
Good. All these things.
So let's continue, Jennifer, then.
Yes. So basically, I appreciate Jonathan calling in. So you were able to communicate, speaking your truth, and being able to, in the end, feel good about speaking your truth, correct?
Yes. Yes, you know, it is because I did not have confidence that my truth was the truth when I did it, because my fears came aboard the next day. They said, no, this is not truth. It had all kinds of stories why that is not the truth. So as a student on this path, the one thing that I would like to share is we are going to have periods of several doubt, lots of doubt. Until you come to a place where it's a moment, you realize. But until that, you will not know whether you're always in truth. And the only way to know it is through the writing work or through hindsight. The quickest way is the writing work. You can quickly see if there is a falseness in it. You write about it, and the unconscious mind is like a child. It'll just tell you. And you will know if there is a fear, you re-educate it. And then is there any doubts about it, you can clarify it immediately. So, yes, the two things. For in order the truth to come into you, you need to work on your stuff. And the more you work on your stuff, the more clear the truth is. And also know that while you're on this path, illusion might masquerade as truth. And it's a beautiful thing. That's also learning. That means you're seeing a fear that is so deep that you did not see before. It's just an opportunity for that, nothing to judge. So
yes.
That's how the process is.
The other thing that, do you feel like the process is ongoing?
Oh, yes.
I don't ever think it's going to end.
Oh, no. For me, if someone had asked me this question, you know, a year back, I would be devastated. I would see what's the futility of this. Why am I doing this if it's going to go on and on? But the thing I have observed, Jennifer, is the more I work at this one, my life is much better. It's like I no longer get hooked at all the thousand things that I got hooked before, which means that I have more peace of mind, that I have more energy to do everything else that I want to instead of going to self-defeating thoughts. So it's like many things have gone, and what is yet to be seen, I'm still working at that. You know, so it is. I see the benefits of it, so I'm not disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that I have friends who have cured themselves of cancer by writing. For me, I've done it. I've not had a terminal illness, but I've had other physical ailments which have taken me to emergency room, and I would write to myself, what is the reason for you to manifest this?
Yes, and I actually had a similar thing. I had Valley Fever, which is common in the Southwest where I live, and basically it just, all you want to do is sleep. And I said, okay, why am I wearing myself out? What am I supposed to be? And I really just did a lot of writing. And the more I wrote, the better I felt.
Yes.
So when you do your writing process, do you write yourself, okay, this is the situation, and then start writing about the situation? What exactly is your process with the writing?
For example, let's say neediness.
Okay.
Okay, I take an issue, whatever the issue is, whether it is whether it is public speaking. Yes. Standing in front of hundreds of people and talking, I had a tremendous fear about that. Or whether it is making the money I want or having a relationship. Or let's talk about neediness. Okay? I'm just going to open the page to that. So the way I knew that this was a problem, and I decided it was time to address it. So I wrote a letter to my unconscious mind. My dominant hand is right hand. So I would write to my unconscious mind in my right hand. This is a technique that my teacher taught me.
Right.
Dear unconscious mind, I understand that we have not had love in the ways that we desire. I accept that. Okay? But what is the need to go seeking for something that truly does not fill us, that does not give us the joy? You're constantly seeking for something that no one can give us. Nobody can give us that feeling of fulfillment. No one. You know, that was a concept that my unconscious mind did not know. It thought that, okay, I can constantly keep eating chocolate to fill me up when I feel low, or I could talk to people and they'll say how great I am, and then I'll feel good about it for about 5 minutes. And, you know, I just said, you know, nothing is going to fill that void in you. It is my job to take care of you. It's our job to love ourselves enough. No one can give that to you. If you go out to the world with emptiness, you're going to attract the same emptiness. You go out and say, I'm not lovable, the world will reflect that right back at you. So I had to talk to it and I understand why it is doing, what is the fear behind it? Or I would ask, what is the higher purpose behind eating sugar when you know it causes mood swings? You know, it will not have an answer for it when you ask that way. Or I would ask, what is the fear behind this? What is the fear behind having intimacy in a relationship? For me, that was a big one. It had a big story to tell me. In my life, in childhood, disagreements between adults meant physical violence. That's what I had seen as a child.
Right.
So for me, intimacy means you need to be able to go deep into a touchy issue and talk about it with a heart open place, not from anger, and have
right.
a communication. I would not go there because I was scared if there is a disagreement, it means, in my mind, I thought it was a terrible reaction to it because that's all I've seen in my life. So my fear of intimacy came from those experiences. When I wrote it, I understood why it would not have an intimate relationship with anybody. And then I re-educated it. I said, that was then. This is now. I'm never going to be in a powerless situation anymore. So that got it. My unconscious mind got it that I was in charge. You know, that I will no longer be in a powerless situation anymore. It understood that because I walked out of a marriage that did not work for me. I walked out of a culture that did not honor me.
Right.
When I could do that, it understood I will not ever be in that position. And then I re-educated it, why intimacy is beautiful, why there's a great way of interacting with another. See, that is how my story was. So the simple way to do it is, if you have a challenge, ask the question, what is the higher purpose behind it, or what is the fear behind it? I like the fear because it'll give some beautiful answers. You would not think about it. Sometimes I cry when I get those answers.
Right.
I never thought of. And the way the unconscious mind talks to you is through your left hand, or the hand that is not dominant.
Right.
Less a dominant hand. The technique is there in my book, The Power of Illusion. And, you know, you just, and once you do it, take one issue and work it out and see it change. And then you know you've mastered it. And that's how self-mastery is. Self-mastery is not letting your unconscious mind dictate your conscious actions, which happens rampantly, but Self-mastery is knowing what is happening in your unconscious mind and being in your power and asking what you want, knowing you will get it. Because there's nothing to stop it. Everybody wants to manifest things. Everybody wants to manifest $1 million. Everybody wants to manifest a huge home, $200,000 salary. But are you ready to release the fear? Oh, my gosh. For me, to earn a, when my teacher asked me to raise my salary, I was like, no way. I'm not going to raise my salary. I went through tremendous fear in that. I did not know that until I wrote it. So you can have what you want, as long as you're ready to see what is preventing you from having it.
But one thing I always ask myself is, what am I gaining from this fear?
That's a good one.
Because you're holding on to it, you must be getting something from it.
Yes. You know, it is an, it's, you know, my teacher is a loving, compassionate being, and she says, denial is not, there's no judgment about denial. Denial is just giving you time until you're ready to see it. Imagine if I had seen at a young age that I was living in a household that was dangerous, if I had really got it, if I had seen how what that was, if I really got it without shutting myself off the way I did, I would have been devastated. I would not have been able to have an education, focus on it, steadfast, get into a job. I got to corporate at a very young age. Because I was determined. I would not have had that determination if I had seen through it at that young age, because my I didn't have the maturity to handle it at that time. So denial is not a bad thing. You know, fear is in some way, we are in denial. We are scared. What will happen if we really see it? We will get shattered.
Right.
Yeah, we will. There are some things that will shatter us. Because when I saw my whole life was one big phony life, it shattered me. The more I've been working on this path for 8 years. More than seven years, I lived in complete isolation. I did not date. I would go to work, I would come back, and I would work on my spiritual stuff. I attended retreats every other week. That's all I did. I did such intense work. One day, I saw how phony I was. My life was just, there was nothing real about my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was devastating.
Well, yeah, I used to call myself the great pretender.
Yes. It's an innocent way that we are protecting ourselves from. We all think that we do not have courage to see our darkest deeds. We do. The only reason we are given this is because we can. My teacher would always say, God does not give you anything that you can't handle. When I get devastated by something, a health challenge, doesn't matter what it is, she would say, God does not give you anything that you can't handle. Do you think you can't handle this, Maya? And I have handled every single thing to date. I have handled it. So we all can handle what is given to us. It's okay if there are times when you fall down, which is normal, which is human, but you get up and you walk again. Doesn't matter. It's just like the simplest example is weight loss. You fall down, you get up and walk again. Intimacy, friendship. You just fall down, you get up and walk again. And the more you do that, your surrounding changes. The people you attract are more fulfilling. It's like you've gone to a different dimension. You're no longer having energy-draining people around you and energy-draining situation. It's like the more you work on yourself, your reality changes. And that's a beautiful thing.
Now, as people are going through this, like you said, there's moments where you're saying, okay, why am I doing this? You start losing faith. You're wondering if you can really trust the world, yourself, God, everything around it. What do you suggest to really build up that faith and trust that, yeah, you really can get through it? Is it just going out and having the experience of really going through it and seeing the light?
For me, the way I discovered faith was through my darkest days, when all I knew was proven to be false. It started with having the courage to see something for what it is without pretty stories about it. I used to have some pretty stories about everything about whatever I went through. But no, just truth, simple truth. Faith was picking myself up every time I fell down, and I saw what my stuff was. faith was realizing that my soul had surrendered to the divine will and my unconscious mind had to follow that lead. You know, for me it was faith. Every time I fell down, I knew this was not it. It was inner knowing, that is not it. And there are times, Jennifer, let me just give you one small example of faith. I did not know God existed. And here I was, I think I was 31 years old. I've never climbed a mountain before. I'm not much of a hiker. And I decided to do a hike that day without water, without any hiking gear. I climbed up 3 hours. I was dehydrated, and I was scared. And I started I thought I was losing control of my senses. I was scared. I was standing on the edge of the cliff, and I was thinking, okay, there are lizards all over the path. I'm scared of lizards. I did not know what to do. I was not a meditator at that time. And I just sat down on the path and I meditated. I said, okay, I can't get any messages right now because I'm scared, but give me water. I need help. And I just stood there and I saw an old man coming up. And I was very shy and inhibited. I wouldn't talk to people. I would be very nervous about that. And I just went to this old man and, you know, I asked him if I could walk with him because I wanted human contact. This is one old man sitting here. And then he looked at me and he asked me if I wanted water. And I was feeling a little delicate and I asked him, can I just take a sip? I didn't want to take away his ration. He said, don't worry, and he opened his backpack. There were bottles and bottles and bottles of drinking water. I was like, that is my first insight that I could have what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And why should an old man carry bottles and bottles of drinking water and climb a mountain? And, you know, I asked him, he said he was training and all the good stuff. And he said he was just about to pour down the water because he has reached the peak. And I was grateful. For me, that is how I started discovering God, or that I was being taken care of. Faith is something you discover inside, Jennifer. No one can give that to you. No one can tell you what faith is. It is not something your mom and dad gives that to you or your priest gives it. No. It is your own direct experience. It is something that is so unique to you. Faith is when everything has fallen down and when you have nowhere to go and you think, okay, Father, help me. And then something happens immediately. How? Because I surrendered. For me, every time it comes to surrender. And for me, my faith gets tested. There are times when when I get totally frustrated, I go to the Creator and I tell him how messed up his creation is. You know, I'm an engineer. I would tell him, you know what, we can design this better together. You know, my anger and my sadness is at not being able to change things. But then I sit down and the answers come. Faith is something that I learned within me by myself. It's like I had to have trust. And we will not have trust until we can have trust within ourselves. Trust is something that comes. I trust in myself. I trust that I can take care of myself emotionally, financially, 100%. And then you can look outside because the reflection is no longer coming from the outside world. If you don't trust yourself, the outside world will look at you and you can't trust the outside world either.
Right.
And, you know, and then you start trusting. There are people in your life that show up in your time of need. Absolutely. I don't have family members or anybody I can call on, but there are wonderful friends who have shown up in my time of need. God takes care of it. Strangers who have shown up when I was lost. It's like, I don't have a job, my savings are running out, and God just says, here you go, have a wonderful job, fantastic salary. How did that happen? No idea. I just cried, I prayed, I wrote, did my work, and I said, okay, Father, take care of me. So trust is a process.
Mm-hmm.
It is your journey, and don't give up.
Now, from that, it leads right into my next question about manifestation. So what is the process for you for manifestation? I mean, definitely you have to have trust and you have to have faith. That's got to be part of the scenario here.
Yes. The thing is, okay, manifestation. Be clear on what you want. Crystal clear. You have to be crystal clear, not too verbose, just very clear. For example, let's say that the job you want. Take a piece of paper and put it on your wall. what you must have in your job and what you will not tolerate. Be very clear. If you want an office by yourself, say, I want an office cube by yourself. My teacher often says this, and this is true. God gives you exactly as you ask for it. Exactly. So be very clear on what you want and what the salary you want, how you want your manager to teach you, to treat you, how you want your peers to treat you, and how you want the projects to be. Should it be creative, fun, commute, 15 minutes commute? Put it all out there. Be very clear. This is just a job. You can do it for your mate. You can do it for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it on your wall, and every day when you wake up and you look at it and say, this is mine, thank you, Father, for it. You do not say, Father, please give this to me, I need it because da-da-da. This is something I learned from my teacher. This is mine, thank you for it.
Yes, and you're please, claiming it.
You're claiming it. And then every day, this is the part that we forget to do, you know, every day, sit down and understand what is your fear that's preventing you from receiving that. For me, I had a big issue with receiving. I had a problem receiving love. I had a problem receiving abundance. I had all kinds of problems receiving. So understand what is preventing you from receiving that. Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, it'll be too much of work. I don't want to work there because I'm spiritual. I'll be drained. All kinds of stories.
Right.
You know, then I put there, you know, can you believe we can have a job where it is like a marriage made in God's eyes? Because we are creating our reality.
Most definitely.
And what I would urge everyone who's listening to this is, have a direct experience of it. Don't take any of my words. It will only become a concept. I don't want you to have concepts. You know, have a direct experience. Take one issue and work through it. And
yes.
A manifestation is you need to put the energy out every day. You
yes.
just don't put it on the wall. Everything is energy. The more you put it on the wall and build up, what you're telling the universe is, I know you're there and I want you to know I'm here. So you are putting the energy out. We are all energetic. So
yes.
when you become formless, which you will, the more you work on yourself, one day your body will vanish and you'll know that you don't have a form. What are you then? It's just energy at that point. So we are all energetics. And put the energy, build it every day. Do something every day. Every day do something. Do not take a break on this. Do not lose the momentum until you get what you want.
Right. Maya, I believe we do have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Caller? Obviously we missed it. So with the manifestation, basically, you put it up on the wall, you write about it, you figure out what's blocking you from having this in your life, and then every day you just say, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And you know, if you have to do something, for example, if you're selling your domain name, let's say, every day you do something about that.
Yes.
Or, you know, anything. If you want a healthy year, healthy lifestyle, every day do something. Build the energy. And if you get discouraged, for me, that is my knee-jerk reaction. I would immediately get discouraged. And then write about it. For me, the thing was I was very impatient. Things came a little fast to me in my life when my career was concerned. So I'm very impatient. My teacher taught me this. Everything happens in God's time. But
yes,
remember that as long as you're clean and you have no fears of receiving it and you're clear on what you want, it will happen very fast.
Yes, that reminds me of an experience I had. I actually was quite sick and I was actually resting and I had a visitation with Jesus and he goes, Jen, you can have anything you want, but you keep changing your mind. So whenever you finally figure out exactly what we want, we'll give it to you. Until then, chill out.
How beautiful. Isn't that true, Jennifer?
Oh, very much. It's just like, okay, I get the hint. Because it was very true. I kept saying, oh, I want this. No, I want this. So as soon as I said, okay, this is what I want, the manifestation started.
Oh, beautiful. It's like you put all your energy behind it. You're
yes.
clear and your energy is right behind it.
Yes, and it was a wonderful experience, and I'm very blessed with that visitation. And it was a big wake-up call, exactly, because I was getting frustrated. It's like, why isn't anything happening? And they're going, this is why you keep changing your mind.
Beautiful.
So with that, I want to thank you very much, Maya. Time is up, believe it or not, for being on the show. Again, I want to say her book is The Power of Illusion, and her website is www.mayavidhya.com. And I thank you very much. Wonderful information. I look forward to getting your book and reading more about it because it's excellent information. And you do have a lot of the information on your website as well to get people started in getting the process going. Thank you very much. And I want to say next week we're going to be talking to Cindy Dale about the advanced chakra wisdom, among other things. Until next time, I hope you're all safe this weekend. And with that, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspiration. Many blessings and good night.